Monday, April 6th, an inmate at Indiana's Plainfield Correctional Facility stayed up late. He wrote a message from his bunk.
Hi, wifey. It's 11:30. I'm thinking about you.
His wife, Lisa, read me the message. We're protecting their identities due to concerns about retaliation.
I can tell you right now, with nearly 100% certainty, that I am going to get this virus. I think the odds are with me that I'll be okay, but I'm not definite.
Lisa says he suffers from lung disease, which could increase the chances of complications from COVID-19. To her, his message sounded like a goodbye.
And I just need you to know how sorry I am for not being there during these scary, uncertain times. I love you, Lisa.
Last Wednesday, the man said prison staff took inmates' temperatures for the first time. Several had fevers, but they weren't pulled from the crowded dorm for 9 more hours. The Indiana Department of Corrections says it follows CDC guidelines, as well as the state's own response plan to curb the spread of the virus. This is from a video posted on the agency's website Thursday.
We continually resupply soap and hand sanitizer at all correctional facilities.
But I spoke with family members of inmates in several Indiana prisons. I read inmates' messages and heard recordings of their phone calls, and they contradict the state's claims. Inmates say they're kept in tight quarters where they can't wash or sanitize their hands or clean surfaces that could harbor the virus. And they say prison staff don't take proper care to prevent the spread.
This is a call from an inmate at the Indiana Department of Corrections.
In a recorded call with his wife, a second man at Plainfield, housed in a different dorm, told the same basic story as the first. No hand sanitizer and no social distancing, even after people showed symptoms of COVID-19.
At this very moment, I can reach out and touch somebody, and now somebody else. It's a breeding ground for infections and viruses, and now we got a reason to be scared for our lives.
His wife has to be identified by her middle name, Nicole. She said her husband tried to make a tent with blankets to protect himself. A guard told him to take it down.
And I normally would tell my husband to comply with what he's being told, but at this point I told him absolutely not. This is the only way that you have to even protect yourself.
I described these conditions to Lauren Brooke Eisen of the Brennan Center for Justice in New York. None of it surprised her.
That's illustrative of what's happening across the country in county jails and departments of corrections.
Swison says an important step the state could take, let people out if they don't pose a threat to public safety.
It's necessary to curb the spread of coronavirus behind bars in this country.
Indiana officials, including the governor, acknowledged that prisons and jails could be especially vulnerable to coronavirus and called for the release of some prisoners. But those decisions have been left up to local courts. So far, 27 inmates in 7 Indiana prisons have tested positive for COVID-19, along with 48 staffers. The state wouldn't say how many prisoners had been tested and declined an interview request to respond to this story. So Lisa is worried about her husband staying in Plainfield, especially because of his health condition. He was sentenced a year ago for driving on a suspended license, theft, and resisting arrest. His release date isn't until next year.
I am so terrified and I feel helpless. I don't know what to do.
She says, yeah, he was sentenced for his crimes, but he wasn't sentenced to death. Jake Harper, Side Effects Public Media.